Welcome you to New Vision. Praise be unto God. We thank God, you know, for being here. We welcome you again to New Vision. And with Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, you know, but happy is he that has the revelation. Happy is he that has that and walks in it, praise God, and obeys that. To God be the glory. And we have, praise be unto God, revelation of God's word, because he does not hide it from us. He does not hide it from us. We read his word, we get understanding of the word, we obey his word, and God just reveals himself all the way through. And this is truly where the love, how does it go? Where, come on, help me, son.
Where the love never ends.
Where the love never ends. That's right. This is where the love never ends. And I know there are times some of you say, well, I didn't feel any love. Honey, if you didn't feel any love, give some love. Okay? give some love. Then you'll feel some love. Praise be unto God. But I pray that you know that we get better and better each time we come together. We get better and better. Praise be unto God. It is with great honor, hallelujah, that I'm able to bring forth our speaker for today. And you know, and I look at this young man, I look at him, and I remember the first time I met Elder Mark. I remember the first time in meeting him as he brought his son Chris over to our summer camp. I remember that wasn't the first time. The first time I remember seeing him in the hospital. I'm saying all of this to say, I have watched Mark grow over the years. I have watched this man grow. I have watched a man that would attend the service, you know, be polite and he has a gift of helps and service. So always willing to help out, do whatever it is he can. I watched him grow not just from in that natural aspect, and taking on responsibility in the church, but then to see him grow spiritually, to see what God had how God had transformed him. I've seen his faith grow. I've seen it where he was on his dying bed and didn't know if he was going to rise again from it. But yet, you know, he was there giving God praise. He was there thanking God the best that he could. I've seen him, you know, go through things with so many things dealing with his health, and he has never ever given up. Never given up. I watch him as he takes instruction. Listen. Correction. This is something that's very important in leadership. If you cannot take correction from your leader, then you shouldn't be in leadership. And I want you to hear me. You should not be in leadership if you cannot take correction. We all stand in the place of needing to be corrected, needing to be accountable, needing to be trustworthy, and so forth. And I've watched this man pass the test every single time. There may have been times when I may have said something to him that hurt his feelings. And, you know, and he may bow his head and say, yes, ma'am, and walk away. He may even have gone and complained to his wife. I don't know. But he always came back on the scene, ready to do whatever it is God said to do, whatever it is that he believed that should be done. Always, you know, trusting in me as his pastor, his leader. And I love him. And then after they went to seminary school and they got so much word in them, I'm telling you, like, I'm like, y'all go ahead with your bad self, okay? it can do it all. And so I just thank God. For me, it's an honor. It's an honor. It is a privilege to count him amongst those that God has anointed to help lead this mission, this vision that we're on, this ministry that we're in, that he divinely connected us together. He divinely did it. And just the way he divinely connected them together as a married couple, he divinely connected that couple with me, who divinely connected us with vision, who divinely, we're all connected with Jesus Christ. And with that being said, I want to release the Holy Spirit in this man of God to go forth and bring us what the Lord has laid on his heart to share with us today. And may Holy Spirit have his way as he used none other than Associate Pastor Elder Mark Garnes. God bless you, son. Go ahead. Bless the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Oh, well, and one other thing. He's an excellent counselor. He's an excellent counselor when he's counseling with me. I'm telling you, the wisdom that God has given this man, and a holy man, not just coming from a man's point of view. He comes from the man's point of view, but a holy man as well. He's not ashamed of being holy and being a man of God. I am so, so proud of him. So again, I shut up. And hello, son. God bless you. Love you. Love you.
Love you too, beloved. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, New Vision. Good morning. It's an honor to be in front of you. I just want to thank God for all of you, for the opportunity to come before you and to share what God has poured on my heart, what God has placed in my spirit to share. I won't be before you very long this morning. And you know, when you hear a pastor or associate pastor say they won't be before you long, you just kind of put your seatbelt on, like, oh, here we go.
Here we go.
But this time I actually mean I won't be before you very long, but there are some quick points I want to point out to you. I just want to share with you. But before I do so, Father God, we just honor you and we bless you. We give praise to your holy, magnificent, and awesome name, O God. I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Lord God, to speak unto your people and to share what you say, Lord God, to share what thus saith the Lord about who we are and whose we are, that we come into line with your instruction, with your direction, and in that receive revelation so that our decisions are made with discernment as we strive to represent and represent you in the midst of this dark world. Give us something today, Lord God, that changes not only our hearts and our minds, but our direction, Lord God, that gives us a new vision, a new outlook, Lord God, that keeps us in restraint, Lord God, as we are blessed to hold on to your law, O God. So we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you, and we give you all the praise and pray to you in Yeshua's awesome and magnificent name and say amen.
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 Amen. You know, when I'm a type of person, I kind of just, when I'm given the opportunity to share the word, it makes me think about my life. And, you know, so many times and so many of all of us are lost facing life situations. You know, we're trying to find direction amidst of all the things going on. Apostle said, you know, when you're dealing with your finances, you're dealing with your family, you're dealing with health, even when you're dealing with ministry and ministry, you know, Apostle can attest to this. Ministry is not easy. It's not easy to lead a ministry. It's not easy to walk in that place. It's not easy to be in the marketplace and be a supervisor, or it's not easy to just deal with the anxiety of life when you don't know where you fit in or what you're called to do, or even your own value or your self-worth. We're just not confident in our direction. And you know, something I thought about when I thought about direction, you know, I'm a person, I used to love the mall. Like, I love to go to the mall. And every place we would travel, my parents would take me different places. I'm going places with my wife when we would visit Malkia and other states when she was in Jersey. My favorite thing was to go to the mall. But I didn't know where things were. So I would always look for the mall directory. And you know, the mall could be four or five floors. It could be, you know, six or seven different directions. But I find this mall directory, and on this directory, there's all kind of categories, men's clothing and men's shoes and women's and pocketbooks and jewelry and all this stuff. But on the map, there was a little dot with a star, and it said, "You are here."
Yes.
And I realized, wow, I'm here. Now I can navigate this place that's so confusing. In the middle of my confusion, knowing where things are, where the where I was, the you are here gave me direction.
And
you are here made me confident I could find exactly what I was looking for. The search was no longer in vain because I knew the direction I needed to go to get to the shoe store or get to the pocketbook store or get to the jewelry store or get to the perfume store or for me when I was a kid to get to the toy store.
All right, all right.
How many kids was running to took their parents and said, "Hey, mommy, I want to go to the toy store." And she was like, "Well, if you know where it is, we can find it." Well, I made sure I knew where it was because I
All
always
right.
planned the directive that said, "You are here." It gave me an intentional way to find my destination. And today I want to talk to you about knowing your position because God's word is the you are here.
Wow.
Position is defined as this: a place where someone or something is located or has been put or has been placed. A particular way in which someone or something is placed or arranged or put together or situated. Now, here's where it really applies: a situation or a set of circumstances. Now, listen to this, especially one that affects one's power to act. How many of us realize our situations affect our power to act? What we're caught in and what the enemy has lied to us about who we are and where we are in our situations because we don't open the word of God, because we don't dive into what God says when he gives us the you are here, when he puts that star on our life and says, "You are here, and this is where I would have you to go." We're tricked by the enemy to believe we have no direction. The word of God is your life directory. It is your life directory. It is the map that set that tells you the direction you need to go to where you want to get to. It is the place that allows you to see the visual makeup and design so you can kind of plan out where to go. You can figure out the direction you need to go to get to where God would have you to be, whether it's going to be at the back of the church sweeping up, whether it's going to be at the front of the church on the pulpit, or whether it's going to be in the pew on bended knee, God's place for you, you're aligned with that when you find out that you are here, when you know your position. In biblical terms, position refers to this: our legal standing in God. Are you guilty? Not guilty? Are you a debtor? Or are you free? Are you an enemy or are you a friend? It's our identity in Christ, which is often indicated by the phrase in Christ or in Him. It's how we are to conduct ourselves as believers. It's our practice. It's what we should do to function and represent Christ because that is our call. The Great Commission says to go out and to preach, but I learned something different. The word preach in that context is not talking about just preaching the word from a pulpit or standing on a platform. It's proclamation. And the only true way to proclaim something is to be an example, an epistle of it, to be an example of it, to show it and to live it out and to walk it out. How do you walk it out if you don't know your position, if you
Come
don't
on.
know where you are?
Come
And the
on.
enemy wants you to believe you have no position in God. He's telling you, you're lost. You know, who you were, your situation, the test you're facing, that's all evidence. The enemy's trying to say that's evidence that you're not in Christ and he isn't in you. You know, one of the biggest struggles for people is living to be who God called them to be when the enemy always reminds them of the thing that God has already forgiven them of, has delivered them from, or is working on in them right now. Whether you were a drug addict, whether you're a fornicator or an adulterer, a thief, a liar, an alcoholic, every day the enemy throws at you, throws it in your face. You aren't where you're supposed to be. And if you aren't, you're not in God. You're not in Christ. But knowing your position, knowing your position, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 8 through 19, excuse me, says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And through God, we are making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, become reconciled to God. Now, what that says, the old has gone. The old is gone. The old man is gone. That's the first thing. If you're in Christ, the new has come. There, you are a new creation. No matter who you were or what you did, what you're going through, what you're facing, what you're going to come up against, you are still a new creation. You are remade. You are redone. You are recalibrated. You are repositioned. You are set aside. You are set into a different position when you know who you are in Christ, when you come into the knowledge of who Christ is and what he has done for you. You aren't lost. You aren't trying to walk through the muck of your past. God is taking that old mess. He's taking that old mess and making a new creation, turning the old mess into a masterpiece that will be an ambassador to direct someone else back to him. You know what it means when he said, when just listen to this statement. God, the master, is turning your mess into a masterpiece. He's turning your mess into a masterpiece. He's taking everything that was wrong, everything that was broken, the broken vessel, the torn apart vessel, the broken vase that you were put that he put together, the clay form that he designed that was broken by ways of the world, that was broken by your experiences, that were broken by your mistakes, that are broken because the enemy lies to you. That mess, he reforms, repositions, and sets as a masterpiece to be presented and held up so that someone else can see what was the broken mess turned into a masterpiece so that they too would want to come back to God so their mess could get turned into a masterpiece.
Amen. Amen.
Are here. You are here is the reconciliation from the past decisions, the commissions, the omissions. It's when the accuser says, look at him, that's who he was. But God says, not guilty. Your position, your legal standing, your identity is in him, covered by him, loved by him, and forgiven by him. Knowing your position. Knowing your position, you aren't trapped in the old, you have a new birth. And let me explain new birth. New birth is a spiritual rebirth that cleanses us as believers from sin and allows us to enter into God's kingdom where we are united with Christ through the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5 says this. Praise be to God and Father of to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope and the res through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now I want you to go to verse 4. Verse 4 says, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Now, when I see inheritance, that means I'm an heir. That means to be an heir, my position, who I was. Now, see, I used to smoke weed. I used to drink. I used to fornicate. I wasn't an adulterer, though. Never was that. Never was that. Never was that. But I lived a life. I'm not proud of it, but I recognize it shaped me to the position of praise that I have today.
Jesus.
But my inheritance, my position has been redefined. It's been recalibrated and identified. God is telling me, my child, you are here. And my you are here, so I'm in him. And when the enemy says that I'm defeated, I say, no, I'm in Christ. Because in Christ, there's no defeat. And if I'm in him, I have no defeat. And if I have defeat, then I have victory, which means I'm an overcomer. So when you say I've lost, you're a lie. If you're a lie, then nothing you say is true. And if nothing you say about me is true, then everything that God, who is opposite of you, says about me is true.
Go
Knowing your position in your time of God, in your time of need, says God is there. He understands your weakness. And you can approach him openly and honestly. Hebrews 4:16 says this: this high priest of ours understands our weakness. Understands our weakness. He understands what you're going through. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, that we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When do you need it most? You need it most when you're lost. You
Come
need it
on.
most when everything about you, when everything around you says you're stuck in the midst of this and you'll never get out. You need it most when you don't know where you are in the five floors of life. You need it most when you're stuck in the midst of 1,000 stores and all you need is just one, but you can't find the one because you don't know which direction to turn. You don't know whether over, south, east, west, up, down, left, right. You don't know where to go because you're stuck in the position that Satan wants to hold you in. But because God knows where he has you going, thank you, Minister Malkia, because he knows where he has you going, he has already set a position for you to continue. I love Don that said he's turning it around for me. He's turning my storm. He's turning my perspective. He's turning my look. He's turning my understanding of position. So now I know my position and I know the direction to travel, direction to go, and how I can pursue him. Because when I pursue him, everything else, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these and all his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. When I seek him, I find him. The song we listened to in the praise and worship, I sought him and he answered. Seek God. I sought him and he answered. I know the you are here comes when I seek out God. When I'm looking for God in the midst of my situations, I don't get stuck in it. I don't try to be my own God. I don't try to fix it. I don't try to do it for myself. I look to life's directory. I look to the word of God, which gives me direction on where I'm supposed to go. Excuse me, how I'm supposed to walk, whether I'm supposed to run, whether I'm supposed to crawl. I remember Apostle, bless her heart, the day she got down and did an army crawl, and all of us jumped up looking like, Lord have mercy, what is the woman of God doing? But she was an example that said, no matter how hard it is, I'm gonna keep on trying to get to the master.
Jesus,
That's what it is.
that was a
I'm gonna
classic
keep on
moment right
trying
there.
to get to the master. When you try your best, when the enemy wants to knock you down, but you still keep on crawling on hand and bent knee, when you keep on crawling on scuffed knees and elbows, when you keep on crawling, when all you can do is drag your chest across the floor, God's
Yes.
gonna give you your position. God's gonna show
Ta-da-da-da-ba-shaka-ta-da-da-ta-ta.
you where you are. He's
Lord, glory.
gonna give you the you are here so that you can see that he's right here with you in the midst
Yes,
of what
Lord.
you're facing. Amen. See, when
Yes,
I
Lord.
know my position, I know I'm free. My debt has been paid because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Come
See,
on, come on.
the enemy says, I owe it all to him. The enemy says, I'm cast down. The enemy says, I'm defeated. The enemy says, because of who the choices I made, because of what I did, death is imminent. Death is my reward. But God said, his gift is eternal life, and it comes through Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior.
My God, My God.
Knowing your position tells us as the believer how to conduct ourselves. See, 1 John 5, 1 through 5 says this: everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that the love that we love the children of God by loving God and carrying out his commandments. In fact, this love for God to keep his commandment, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How are we supposed to act? Follow his commands. The scripture that Apostle pointed out this morning that our ministry stands on, Proverbs 29 and 18. It tells us, happy is he that keepeth the law. Another translation says, blessed is he that keepeth the law. Blessed is he that abides by the rules and direction of our God and Father. Blessed, happy. He can celebrate life. You know what happy means? Happy means in the midst of your situation, you can still celebrate. Happy means when you're going through something and everything wants to tell you to drop, to throw in the towel, to give it up, to fall down because you're not going to make it. When you're still facing, and Rod, I'm talking to you, bro, when you're still facing the temptation, when you're still facing the desire, when you're still facing everything that takes you away from where you know you want to go, happy is he that keepeth the law. Happiness is yours because you're striving to keep his commandments. You're striving to honor him, striving to love him, striving to know him, and loving him, and it is keeping his commandments. And if loving him is keeping his commandments are not burdensome. They're not a heavy burden. They're a task that he gave you the strength to carry on. He didn't give you a command you couldn't live up to.
That's right.
Gave you
That's right.
commands that would draw you closer to him, as you committed to him, because as you turn down the flesh, as you turn away, as you repent, as you turn away from the wicked ways, as you turn away from the old man, as you turn away from the lost place you were in, as you turn to knowing your direction, you lean upon the law of God. You won't cast off restraint, as Proverbs 29:18 tells us, because you'll have prophetic vision and direction in your life. You'll have a means of getting to where you are, where you want to get to in God, because you know your position. Verse 3 says, in fact, this is the love for God, to keep his commands, to keep his commands. And verse 4 goes on and says, for everyone born overcomes the world. We can be confident that the trials, the tribulations facing this world are not going to defeat us. We know our position. When we really see that you are here, we can be confident in this. We can be confident. We can be confident. We can be confident. We can be confident. Lord God, thank you for confidence. We can have strength beyond our fleshly understanding. You know, when you tell a person to be confident, they always think, well, how can I move and do something different when I've been this, when I've been that? I don't understand how to be confident in who I am when I don't even know who I am. But God says, come to him without fear. Knowing your position says, come to God. And if somebody could find his Hebrews, a friend of mine shared this scripture with me before, and forgive me, this isn't in my notes, but I just wanted to share it real quick. Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace, to find grace and mercy in your time of need. In your time of need, when you don't know where to turn, when you don't know what to do, you can be confident. You can be confident in God. You can trust in him, as the script, as the song said. You can trust in him and know that he is moving, that he is the fourth man in the fire. You're not facing this situation alone. I trust in God. That song is just so powerful. I trust in God. I'm confident in God. Trust is a position of confidence and belief. Like when you say, I trust, there's no doubt. There's nothing that can convince you otherwise. I trust. I trust. I believe. I don't have doubt. I'm confident. Knowing your position tells us not to fear the things that we see. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with the righteous, with my righteous right hand." God's going to uphold you. God's going to keep you. No matter, once again, whether you're facing a family issue, whether it's drug issues, alcoholism, adultery, fornication, whatever sin that you were in, or whatever you need to be delivered from, whatever you're facing, don't fear it. Know that God is with you and he will
Yes.
hold you. He will strengthen and help you. We're not strong enough for it by ourselves. That's why we face situations. We face situations so that we will be dependent upon God. Our situations aren't for us for us to feel like we're strong enough to make it, or to feel so weak that we can't deal with it. But it's for us to depend and know our position, that our position is in him. And as our position is in him, we can trust him, be confident in him. And his word says, in his life directory, he says, "I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In that same chapter, verse 13 says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes you by your hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." You know, it took me back to the mall experience. You know, when I would go through the store when I was younger, my mother would take me by the hand and guide me to where I needed to go. And when she took my hand, when a mother or a father or a parent takes their child's hand and guides them across the street, that child doesn't worry about cars anymore.
Right,
Child is looking
right.
for mom and daddy because they say, "I'm protected. I'm safe. I'm there.
Yes.
Don't leave me." So when God says, "For I am the Lord who takes hold of your right hand," when he takes you by your hand, he knows your position. He knows your weakness. He's saying, "You are here with me, so let me guide you across this tumultuous path. Let me guide you across this trial, this tribulation. Let me guide you across this very thing that you're going to face, because you will face it, but you don't have to face it without me. Do not fear, I will help you." What you are facing, what you faced, what you're going through, coming out of, God says, trust him. Be confident in him. And as I close, I want to bring you to one more scripture, Jeremiah 17 and 7, and says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Saints of God, know your position. You are here and you don't need to go back. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. Praise God. Praise
Amen.
God. Praise
Amen.
God.
Word.
Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. Powerful word.
Amen.
Powerful message.
Powerful.
Hallelujah.
Powerful.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Yes.
you,
Yes.
Jesus.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. Awesome.
And look
Awesome.
at the confidence that we can
Yes.
walk in, that we are here. Amen. That we are here. And I love that example, like where you're standing there in the mall and you got all these different directions to go, but you can't get there unless you know where you are, so you'll know which way to go. That is such an awesome demonstration, son. Thank you so much. I'm telling you, I really, really appreciated that. I really appreciate that. I know yesterday when Nikki and I were coming home and we were looking at the moon, we were looking at the moon and where it was positioned in the sky. And then I was on the phone with someone talking about how beautiful the moon was. And they said, well, where is it? And I'm like, how can I tell you where the moon is? And it's up in the sky. Go out and look. You know, it's up there. But then when they explained, where is it northeast, south, or west? And we were able to figure out on the highway that it was on the east side of us. It was on the east side. They went out and looked to the east and they found the moon. Amen. They were able to see exactly where it was. And knowing where you are can help you to get to where you need to be. Knowing where you are helps to tell you where you came from, that you don't have to go back that way, all right? So to God be the glory. Son, I take my hat off to you. Awesome, powerful word. It wasn't just a word that was good. It's a word that does some good. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. 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 All righty. Now I don't know what I do. Now I'm finished.
I believe Auntie Mama Shoes has something to say. She looks
I do.
I can tell.
I just want you to know I could not get down everything you said. I was taking notes on everything you said, because you brought forth life to us today. And to me, one of the most important things you said is when your parent has your hand.
Yes, yes.
That you are not in fear.
Yes.
And when God takes us by the hand, there is no need to fear. And let me tell you something. What you went through, God took you through it to bring you to where you are now.
Amen.
He had to instill trust in you. So he had to let you go through some things, suffer some things, so that you would put your total faith and trust in him. This is just a beginning for you. It's a beginning. There are people that you are going to minister to, and you're going to be able to reach them because of what you have gone through. And you never stop trusting God. He has you by the hand, and he is guiding you every step of the way. And don't let the devil tell you any lies. Do not. Keep trusting God, because you're going to go through some more stuff. But it's because of where God is taking you. It was absolutely awesome. Even with all I took down, I said, I got to go back and listen to this word, because this is a powerful word. It is a word that releases us. It releases us. I thought about my grandson yesterday. He was in a wrestling meet and he just kept losing every battle. And one of the parents said, get angry, get angry. And he got angry and he lost that match. And when he came out, I said, son, do not get angry. The devil wants you to get angry so you'll lose your wits about you. Mm-hmm. See, there's that get angry and sin not. But most of the times when we get angry, we do something foolish. And the devil is bringing stuff on you. He's trying to make you angry enough to turn your back on God. The success comes that when you're in that wrestling match, that you don't let the enemy make you angry where you lose control. Stay focused on God, because you're in a match. You're in a match and you are fighting for souls of people. There are souls that you're going to win. And the devil's trying to make you mad. Oh, God, I'm done. It was awesome. Awesome work. Thank you, man of God.
Amen. Amen.
An amazing, 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 amazing word. I will never look at the "you are here" sign ever again. Every time I'm in a mall, because I have a bad sense of direction and I'm very visual, as you all know, the creative part of me. So when it says I have to turn around and like look this, that, and the other, I have to put, you know, turn, or from reading a map, I have to turn it upside down. But the you are here, it's making me also now look at the Bible differently. We all know that the Bible leads us, guides us. I forget what some people use the acronym for, you know, for Bible, but the you are here. Everything in our life, everything anyone can go through is in the Bible. You are here. Open the Bible and you will find yourself there. You are there. I will never look at that ever the same again. It's that. And then the songs that Kyle played today, submission or what have you, the perfect submission. And I trust in God. When you give everything over to God, perfect submission gives you perfect peace. All right. The scripture, I will never look at Psalms 107 again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed tell their story, not say so, because we look at the King James version says say so, but tell their story, testify, let the redeemed testify. And then I had to go and look up the word redeem. What is it? To gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. Jesus died and paid for us. He redeemed us from the hands of the enemy. So since we were redeemed, what are we supposed to do? Tell our story. Tell. Elder Mark, you talked about the trust and the faith and believing in God. That goes again with what Pastor Brinkley was teaching on Wednesday. If y'all were in Bible study, you would know when she taught about, when she asked something about, I can't remember what it was, but I know my response to her was the great cloud of witnesses that went on before. Because I knew what God did before, I can trust him to do it again. Because he did it before, they're up there cheering in heaven, telling us that we can make it. The great cloud of witnesses that are there. And then we're the clouds of witnesses here on the earth, and somebody's seeing us. So we are the redeemed. We are the ones that have to say so, and we trust in God. Because he did it before. We know what he did. And like I said before, when you put it in God's hands, and like you said, Elder Mark, when he holds the hand, the child does, they don't even look. We teach them no matter what. Look, I tell my grandson, I don't care if I have your hand. I may not see it. You still look. Kids do not look because they trust us. So if we trust God like that, just we don't worry about what's going on around us. We don't have to try and dodge because he's leading and guiding us with his hand. Oh my God. Again, I knew the word was being recorded. I do not take notes, so I am definitely going back and listening to that one again. It was amazing. And all I can see in my head is, I cannot wait for Daniel to come home so you and him can do a tag team, because some of the things you were saying are some of the things Daniel was saying to me. And I'm like, oh my God, they need the tag team. Y'all are going to be awesome reaching to other people, because y'all got almost the same type of story. Y'all reaching the people out there. It is going to be awesome. And I cannot wait. Count it all joy when we go through diverse trials, because we come through and our testimony will help someone else. Like I said earlier, one more day. Just one more day. Thank you, Mark, Elder Mark, Pastor Mark, for making it one more day. Thank you, Pastor Tabika, for staying with him one more day.
One more day, yes.
Thank you. Y'all are awesome. I'm done, I think. I'm done.
I just have to say this. When I read Psalms 107, this morning I was praying, asking God about the scripture. And when he showed me Psalms 107, I read, I said, God, you know, there's a lot in there. And Lord, you're telling us that we've done wrong, but we can come to you. Mm-hmm. And this is what God showed me. He said, when you were bad, when you were little, and your parents threatened to spank you, they spanked you. And there were times when my mother didn't want to spank us. So she said, I'm saving it up. And she saved that beating until all four of us were just out of control. And then all of us got this group beating, you know, you all get in the room together and mommy's spanking everybody. And it made me think about God, how much he loves us. And God said, I love you more than your parents. Because your parents spanked you. But you were deserving of a beating from me, and I beat my son. And when you showed me that, I said, glory to God. This is a God who loves us. He loved us so much, he didn't spank us. He spanked his own son who did nothing. He took the punishment for what we did. And yet in that scripture, he tells us just how bold we were and rebellious we were and not listening. And he said, but you cried out to me.
Yeah.
Glory to God. That is what every single one of us on this line did. We were all deserving of a good spanking, and we cried out to God, and he spanked his son for us. That is love. Like you can't, how many of us, the only person I know whose parents got spanked instead of, was my mother when she would try and spank Edda, and Edda would high jump that belt. That girl can jump. Let me I'm sorry, what I'm telling you. All right, but God is good.
Oh my God. All right. Let's go ahead and move on. We got all these preachers up in here. You hear me? All of these good words. All righty. Nikki, Denise, I mean, Nikki, whatever. You go ahead and lead on from here, because I don't know what's going on. So just go ahead. You.
Are there any announcements?
Yes. Go ahead, Tamika.
I sent an email about the New Year's Eve service. There is a event at Abba's house called Festival of Lights that I would like to attend instead of having an online service. I did send the email yesterday morning. If you did not get it, please let me know that you didn't get it. This is a ticketed event, and it looks like the tickets were $12 per person. So we hope to see you there. It looks like a very interesting event from what the details of it that they listed. It looked different. It looks like something that you won't waste your time doing. And it looks like, Apostle, you said it starts at 7, right?
Yes, yes.
It starts at 7 on the 31st.
Because it has dancing in it has a play in it, it has a whole lot of stuff in it. It's very, very well put together.
Yes.
So, amen. Okay, so with that, okay, she gave that announcement. Also, let me encourage all of you, remember January the 5th. We can't say enough about January the 5th. That is a transition service, amen, where the church that we're purchasing the building from, they're doing, they're going out and we're coming in service. It is a prophetic, spiritual, divine appointed service. Every single person that is on this line that's able to be there, please be there. Be there for the move of God. Be where you are here. You are here. And let me say this. When God sets an appointment, God is an on-time God. Y'all know that song. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Not that he's just on time for you, but he's on time. When he sets up an appointment, he is on time. He's not late. When we're supposed to start our service at 11 o'clock and people aren't here and we wait to give you 5 minutes, that's not God. That's not God. When he says be someplace at 11 o'clock, you're supposed to be there at 11 o'clock. Be there for this service. It is a divine appointment for this service. Even people that, again, who have left the ministry because we didn't have what we needed and whatever the case may be at that time, invite them to come back to support us in this transition service, to support us in this transition service. I implore all of you, please be there. Look, now I'm going to be ridiculous right now. Mama Lillian, come in from Texas. Be there, okay? Come in from Texas. If our women were here, our aunties on in Panama, come in from Panama. You want to come in? We may not even have signed the paperwork yet, but God has allowed us to be able to be there for that service at that time. Let's come and praise God. Also, the 29th, which is two Sundays from now, two Sundays from now, I will be bringing the word on that Sunday, and want to wrap up some things as far as year end stuff. So again, folks, come out. Please do your best. There's so much to do. There's so much to do. You know, as we're transitioning here, you know, dedication of the building and stuff, all of that comes down the road and service and all this. So be excited. Be excited about what God is doing. He's doing a new thing with us, thanks to God. So to God be all the glory and the honor. God bless you all. God bless you.
Sister Marisha, go ahead. I saw your hand up.
Good afternoon, family. I put it down, but I didn't know if I was going to be saying this prematurely. And then I go back to what Innocent Elder Mark Gunn said today about being here. I'm trusting and believing God for my second interview for the position that I told you guys about. The last time we get together at the God time. And I'm so excited for this opportunity because I believe that is God putting me into my purpose in the marketplace where he's going to allow me to touch the community in which I grew up, support to them, to educate them, still share the word every chance I can. So I just ask them for prayer, touching and agreement. If that's God's will for me, my second interview is tomorrow afternoon. And I'm just excited, and I'm full for the year that God has blessed me to see, to come through. And it's never about how you start, it's always about how you finish. If you pray, living on my own for the first time in so many years, and God has just, like he promised, that he would never leave me nor forsake me, and he has just been shining his light upon me ever since. So thank you for your prayers, thank you for your support, and I love you guys. Thank you.
Amen. God bless. God bless.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I believe that is all. Amen. Well, I am going to say our scripture reading. Lord Jesus, bless our offering. You know where to go ahead and give your offerings, www.newvisionforlife.com. And you can give your offerings, your tithes, donations for all of our ministries there. I think that's it. All right. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, and we take our offering, and Father, those who have already given their offering and tithes throughout the week, Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for first of all, allowing us to have seed to sow, Father God. We thank you that, Father God, that you trust us, Father, to give you the 10% back, and we are able to keep the 90% to do what we need to do, Father God. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that all the monies that are collected, Father God, will go forth to do what you have called it to do, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the jobs, Father, the homes, the businesses, Lord Jesus, the church, Father God. We thank you for stolen monies being returned, found money, Father God. We thank you for checks in our hands, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for everything that money answers, God, because your word says money answers all things. So God, we thank you, Father God, for allowing us to have the money to answer all things, Father God. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for just being who you are. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you for your protection, Father God. We just truly thank you and worship you, Father God. And Lord Jesus, we will never cease to give you the glory, the honor, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have again, that you are, like I said, you gave us the monies, Father God, so that it can meet all of our needs, so that we can enhance the kingdom. Lord, we will never cease to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It is in Minister Carlson.